Good morning. Hope everyone has slept well and come with expectations. I know I do, because I need the Lord more and more each day. I cannot do without Him. No matter what comes my way, I cannot do without Him surging through me with His anointing and with His life. We've talked many times about the branch and the vine, but being connected gives us a taste of what is really needed in our lives. We can be there, but the branch can be stopped up, or the growth can come without the fruit. I would like to see more fruit. You need Him more surging through you every day. And that comes from us giving ourselves over to the one who is able to keep us from falling and to present us spotless before Him, faultless, it says in King James, until that day. Yes, there is a lot going on in this world, but we don't have to yield to that spirit that's in the air, because we have a spirit within us that is discerning. And that discernment will tell us what is right and what is wrong. Because it says in Malachi, I believe it is the third chapter, that there's those that spoke often one to another. And a book of remembrance was written to them that talked one with another about me, saith the Lord. And they shall be mine when I make up my jewels. And when I make up my jewels, those jewels will go out. And this is the key. Discern who that serveth God and who that serveth Him not. And I really believe in this age will tell what is of God and what is not. Because they said in this day there will be calling good evil and evil good. And it's no more evident than what it is right now. You are here because you want to be here, I hope. And I've looked over the faces of you all through many years, and I've seen your desires and your passion for our God and His Christ. Amen. And I've seen, and you've seen, my ups and my downs. But praise the Lord, we've prayed for one another. We've shared one another's burdens. We've shared one another's victories. But we also are being tempered and proved. I could almost get into my message right now, but proved what we're made of. Because God is making us a peculiar people. Each one has their own mission, you might say, their own place before God, and yet we're all of the same puzzle, as was talked about before the meeting, that in itself brings us together as the body of Christ, and that's who God wants to bring us together with, so that we do not reflect individualism, but we reflect His image. And that image is coming forth, a hope through me and you, in such a way that God is going to be truly all in all. And it's done, thank the Lord, through the power of His Holy Spirit. That vine surging through the branches is tremendously needed. And the pruning, which I can say that again, but I don't want, like I said, to get into anything that I want to say, but it's just so strong on me this morning. The pruning, if you think about it, is not only cutting off dead branches, but it is cutting off live branches, live wood. And why is that? Because if that wood is allowed to grow and not pruned, there may be a little bit of grape at the end of about this stall, or a few specks here and there. But God, through His love, clips the live portion, because He doesn't want that limb or branch to keep going and going and going out and not bearing fruit. The purpose of that branch is to bear fruit. And we have felt the pruning shears on many of our lives the past year. And that pruning brings us to a place where when the spring comes, then growth comes. And when growth comes, then the clusters of grapes are really healthy. God's anointing. God surging through us. Please stay connected. We have a tendency to try to go it on our own. And you know how that works out. But if we abide in Him, then His Holy Spirit takes over. You cannot make your own fruit. You might as well quit trying. That Holy Spirit has to produce the fruit in you when the work is done. He has to produce love. He has to produce joy. He has to produce long-suffering. He has to produce faith and peace. And when that happens, it is a true cluster. It's not just a little bit. It's a true, great, beautiful, luscious grape. It hurts to be pruned. It takes us to the depths of our souls to be pruned. But the reward is so, so vital. In this body, His image must come forth. He says in Isaiah, I will not give my glory to another, but He will give it to His church. He said in the 17th chapter of John. I would desire you to see my glory, the glory that I have with the Father, I will give unto you. That glory He will not give until the work is done. Jesus had a glory on Him, but the true glory came after He submitted to the death of the cross. And then God says, I highly exalted Him in Philippians 2 and gave Him a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess that He is Lord. Jesus prayed on the cross, Father. When He prayed in Gethsemane, He said, Father, let me be back with You and sharing that glory that I once had with You from the beginning. That glory is ours. You believe that? That glory is the goal, in a sense. Because then we have been pruned. We have been crucified with Him. Then we have been tried, tested. And we have presented our bodies without reputation. We have become servants. We have yielded and yielded. And God then takes that and glorifies us with the glory that He had with the Father. Oh, people of God, there's so much more than just these few words. That anointing it can rest on us doesn't have to just be right now. It can rest on us throughout the week and through the times where we need it the most if we abide in the vine. Jesus said in Isaiah 61, I'm just going to read one verse here. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And that could be said the poor too, because that meek and poor was in the same translation. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Saints of God, we are bound if we are captive of any addiction or sin or anything that is not pleasing to God. God said, I have come to open the prisons to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion a pruned, healthy branch can mourn by the cutting. But appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and give unto them beauty for ashes. Oh, there is a cluster coming. So let the pruning continue. The vine is going to be healthier. I mean, the branches are going to be healthier. The vine is always healthy because it's Christ. And His Father lovingly comes because He's the vine dresser and prunes and prunes where He sees fit. And I can see it in your eyes. Some have been pruned pretty heavily. But God says, I'll give you the oil of joy for the beauty. The oil of joy for beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. Some here are mourning. Losses or things that have happened to them. Maybe a job or loss of a home. There's so many things out there that will take you to the depths of your soul. The garment, this is what comes, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I may come into this place with a heavy heart, but then people start praising the Lord, and my heart lifts, and the heaviness is taken away. But you can also receive that during the week. And the days that when you're not meeting together with your brothers and sisters. I had a little situation where I thought I may have something. And I had the church pray. And I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, You promised me peace in the midst of a lot of anxieties and fears. You promised me peace. I said, either way this turns out, I still want peace. I said, can you give me that so I can just lay this thing down, whether it goes one way or the other. I just want your peace. And I haven't experienced this before. But something came over me that took it all away, and I didn't hardly give it a second thought. I expressed to a couple of people that I knew what was happening. But I said, I don't have no anxiety whether it's going to go one way or the other. But I know one thing. I have a peace in my heart. And that's what it's about. And it turned out that for right now, it's okay. And I rejoiced. But if it went the other way, I would have gone through whatever God had for me on the thing. But I had a peace. I wasn't planning to give this mini sermon this morning, brother, but I'm just going, you know. Praise the Lord. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You're going to have heaviness in your life. Some circumstances is going to take you down. But you don't have to be knocked out. God has promised us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I lean on His promises. I love those promises last night. Some of those that were read. And there's more. And sometimes it seems like it just comes right at the right time. And lifts your soul. I'll cut on the radio and hear a song. Or somebody will say something. And just all of a sudden that it just turned the other way. Just as quick as it was there, I'm singing, or rejoicing. Amen. That they may be called, and this is the key. You want to be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, for one reason, that He might be glorified in your heaviness, in your joy, rejoicing for a good thing, but in your heaviness, He might be glorified. And when He is glorified, one day after you've gone through what He went through, you will be glorified with Him. I guess that's the tip of what I had to say for right now. I had three songs on my mind, and I'm back to two. But the one song is, we sang it before we came in here, "The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me." To break the, what is it, the, should have closed it. To what? Heal the broken heart and set the captives free. To open prison doors and make the blind to see. The Spirit of the Lord is now. Now. It's not tomorrow, it's now. That's what we were exhorted before we came here. Now. The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me and you. Let's stand this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me to heal the broken heart and set the a song from the islands I would like to sing, and those that know it, sing it with me, and then you can learn it real quick. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Oh, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Said in the scriptures through Isaiah that put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And when we sing like this, we put on that garment of praise. whether it's a slow song or a peppy song or whatever, it doesn't either one soothes me. But sometimes a few nice soft songs soothe me. Then when the peppy ones come and the soft, I just want to flow in whatever the Lord has. But right now we're going to flow into put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. Amen. Put on the garment of worship Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You that are heavy, praise Him. You that are cast down, praise Him. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He is good, isn't He? He's good, and His mercy endureth forever. Amen. Oh, praise Him. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you could be sitting in that place, and I know you're tired of me talking about that place, but I think we all keep hitting it. And the Lord is telling us, I got a way for you out. It's got to be the Spirit of the Lord, because He says this to us so many times. We come in with a burden, and He lifts the burden. But we can have heaven come down right where we are. Right in the place we are. That's what's so glorious. Yes, it is glorious now because we feel like heaven is coming down. But hallelujah, I want heaven to come down. In that dark hole like Jeremiah was, when he says, my teeth are like gravel stones. He says, my bones have been broken. And I'm sitting here like a lost man. Lamentations 3. He says, he had no friends. He said, they are against me, Lord. I'm sitting here in this hole. But he said, remembering my afflictions, remembering what I've gone through, I see you. Amen. And I see your mercies afresh every morning. And I wake up in the morning sometimes and I say, you know what you promised me today, Lord? I'm going to hold you to your promise. I get fresh mercies this morning. I need them yesterday, but I'll get them again today. Ain't that wonderful? Heaven's come down again today. In the midst of that hole, Jeremiah said, I see your mercies afresh every morning. He says, your mercies fail not. He said, if they were, we'd be consumed. But great is your faithfulness. And saints, that's a faithful promise to us. God said it's a promise to us day after day after day. And we can live on that. I know we've been clapping, but I want to go back into a kind of a mellow song and sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And let's find out what page it is so we can see these beautiful, what? Who said something? 43? I heard that, 43. So let's look at that. This song has got so much in it for me and you this morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow turning with thee. Thou changest not, compassions they fail not. right here is one of my favorites, because I have sinned in my life and I have been pardoned, and there's nothing like a soul set free. But when that mercy comes and that pardon for sin, then comes a peace that endureth. Oh, there's nothing like a soul set free. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth.
People who do not know the living God. But you know me, and you are in me, and you are of my line, and you are my family. No matter what becomes ahead that is by the enemy, you will be in peace in the midst of it. Even as you lie there in the stern of the boat and sleep with me, saith the Lord.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Yea, thus saith the Lord, rest in me today. Come unto me, you who have labored so hard and have been so heavy laden, and I shall give you of my rest. I give you a peace, not as the world gives, but I give you a peace that endureth, saith the Lord. For when I give you of my peace, saith the Lord, I give you myself, and I impart myself into your very being, saith the Lord. For I am transfiguring you, I am changing you into a new creature. Yea, for I have set you as a member in particular in this body, to fit into a particular place in this body. But you must be formed to fit into that place. And that means that all the flesh must go. Yea, and I shall remove it step by step. Each part, each sin that has beset you, each fear, each turmoil, I shall take it away, and you shall give it up, saith the Lord. For you have held on to it, these things, to protect yourself, but they don't protect you, saith the Lord. But I protect you. Come unto me, you who labor and are so heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Amen.
Amen, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Are ye not under my covering? Do I not go before you, saith the Lord, to even open the way where there is no way? For I make a way in the desert place, and I provide for you day by day and hour by hour, saith the Lord. Am I not as a father unto thee, that I hear your prayer and I hear your cry? And I answer according to my great will and my great wisdom unto thee, and my love towards thee. Do not I shelter thee against the storm, saith the Lord, and cover thee there with my hands. For you are my own, saith the Lord, you are my people. You are my treasure, saith the Lord, and I place great value upon my people. For I guide them in a right way, and I speak unto them words of truth. I feed them so they may grow and be strong in the power of my might. For ye are mine, saith the Lord, and I walk with you, and you are learning to walk with me. Therefore, even in this hour, saith the Lord, let thy confidence be in the Lord. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Listen to his voice and submit unto his leading, saith the Lord. And in that place and under that covering, ye shall walk and enter in to that which I have before thee, saith the Lord. Ye shall walk in unity. Ye shall walk in love. Ye shall walk in peace. My power and my authority shall be amongst you, saith the Lord. For I shall tear down the stronghold of the enemy. And even those things that would rise up against thee cannot overcome what I have overcome, saith the Lord. For I prepare a way for you, and I prepare a place for you, saith the Lord. Let my peace dwell in thine heart. Lay thy head down and rest, for I watch over thee, saith the Lord, and put your confidence in me, for thou art mine, saith the Lord, even in this day.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
And out of the house of bondage. Yes. And I am the Lord thy God that has set you free, that you may serve me in freedom, that you may enjoy walking with me, says the Lord thy God. May I remind you this day, says the Lord, I am a faithful God. I will not lack from my promises. My promises are yea and amen. And I will fulfill those promises unto my children, says the Lord thy God. Be not afraid of tomorrow. Be not afraid of what you're faced with even right now. I will make a way through the wilderness. I'm leading you step by step. And my spirit is guiding you, says the Lord thy God. A pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. So that my spirit just lead you step by step. Do not run ahead of me, says the Lord thy God. I am going ahead of you. I will lead you into the pathways that you know not of. And times when you seem to be stumbling, yea, I'm holding your hands. You may not be conscious of my presence, says the Lord, but I am there. I am there with you, says the Lord thy God. Amen. Be not afraid, for I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, says the Lord. I am thy God. I will never suffer thy foot to stumble, says the Lord thy God. Put your trust in me. Seek me. Lean upon my everlasting arms. And as you lean on me, says the Lord thy God, I will will teach you. Yea, says the Lord, come up thither, come up higher, and I will teach you the ways of the Lord thy God. I am molding and fashioning and preparing a people unto myself,
yes,
that I will glory in him, says the Lord thy God. For my glory doth rest upon you, my anointing doth rest upon you, says the Lord thy God. Each step of the way, fear not, I am thy God. I am a faithful God.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord
Amen.
Thy God to the church.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
My word declares, seek me, and ye shall find me. Call upon me, for I am near. Yea, I have called you that ye might abide in me. Oh, I desire to just abide in me. Does not the word declare, abide in me, and I shall give you the desires of your heart?
Yeah.
Oh, and as you abide in me, you will desire me, not the things of the world. Yea, I have come to satisfy your desires. I have come that you might have life, that you might have joy, that you might have peace.
Yes.
I have come to be with you. Oh, yes, you need to call upon me, but I will come, and I will abide.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Coming down from God out of heaven, you will fill the whole earth, and you will walk in the paths of the Lord thy God, for thou art a holy people, yea, a holy people. Reach unto me for holiness. Reach unto me for love and mercy and grace and all those things that you need to be the sons and daughters of God. Even today, recognize yourself, O New Jerusalem, and walk in that life. Thus saith the Lord thy God.
Yes, amen.
Am I not the potter of your life? Are you not clay in my hand? Does the clay talk back to the potter? Give any commands to the potter? Instead, does not the clay remain submissive, willing to be shaped, willing to be fashioned, willing to be destroyed, willing to be made new again? Am I not the same potter in your life, my people? Be encouraged this morning, my people. Let not your spirit go cold, says the Lord.
Yes.
Stand up as an army for me, my people. Have I not given you my spirit, which moves in your heart? Allow that spirit to move in your heart, my people. Let not you become cold. Let not your walk with me discontinue. Let not the communion discontinue, my people. I am talking to you. I am walking with you. I call you each day, my son, my daughter, and I tell you, this is my way. This is my way. Walk ye in it.
Yes.
My people, how many times I have intervened in your life and changed your path. Trust in me, my people. Do not trust in abilities. Do not trust in your plans. My thoughts, my ways are much higher, my people. For you, I have my ways, my thoughts, my plans because you're mine. I have bought you with a price, my people. You are bonded to me. You are mine. You cannot separate from me, my people. Oh, my people, I love you with all my heart. And I keep calling you my son, my daughter. Do not go away. Listen to my voice and follow me, my son, my daughter. Do not be distracted by the world. It's a deceptive world, so subtle you are not able to understand what is right, what is wrong. I have placed my spirit in you, my people. Walk with me. Listen to me, and I will lead you, and I will bless you, thus saith the Lord.
Yes, amen, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
My children, fear not. Do not be discouraged. I am not looking for an army of warriors. I am looking for an army of singers and worshipers. You will go out among the people singing praises, and I will go before you, and your enemies will know who protects you, and you will not be harmed. The enemy will not lay a finger on you, and you will walk in peace all the days of your life. And all the people around you shall see me, and they shall know who is the protector and who is the Savior and who all the glory should go to.
And you are my bride. Let us be one. I desire your love. Just as human as you are, I am too. And I need your love. And I desire that you will do those things that I show you to do, that we may become one. And that we together will enter the glory of God. And we will share many great things that your thoughts and ideas have never seen before. And we will for sure be one. For that is my desire, that you and I are going to be one. And therefore, my children, I have chosen you to be my bride. Enter into this love affair with me, my children. I desire to hear your praises. I desire for you to tell me how much you love me. I desire you with all my heart, for I have given my heart to you. So thus saith the Lord, forget not that I've called you to be my bride and to be one with me now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, won't you tell more about our love. seated. Ted?
I was about to panic. I have this bag with about 100 pockets, and I just think I went through 99 of them before I found the notes. Also, bear with me a moment. Left my Bible down there. The thing that has been pressing on my heart as I've been, what do? We read our Bible, we pray, we meditate, we talk to God wherever we're at all the time, and we blabber away, and I think that it's good for me anyway. I'd be out in my shop, or, I'll tell you what, cutting my grass, something I used to hate to do, I still do, I guess, but I'll be sitting on the old mower, going along, and I have a mower you ride, and I haven't got but about 1/3 of an acre, and there's a house, a shop, and 2 sheds on that. But gets over with in a hurry. But you know, a lot of times when I'm on that mower, it just seems that God's speaking to me about things, and it's just an amazing thing. What I wanted to talk about, I felt there's been so much going on about what's going on in my country and other countries, in governments and instabilities today. And I was thinking about that. And, you know, how does this all work for us? How does this work for us? And the thing that God led me to, I'll tell you, and it's interesting how that happened. I was reading an article in Messages to the Church. And I believe it was This Is That, because the brethren had put that out, you know, in one of their recent emails to us, and I said, I'm going to reread that. And there was a paragraph in there, and so, well, and boom, you know, he just kind of off. And a couple weeks later, here I am, been a while, but the subject is the differences between human government and kingdom government. That's what I want to talk about. And to start with this, human government is predicated on one or another of varying systems of authority. And there's 3 types. Autocracy, rule by one. Oligarchy, rule by few. Democracy, rule by all. And since I'm most familiar with the authority of my own country, and when we talk about human government, you could also put world authority in there. Those 2 words just the same. And I thought what I would do is use my own knowledge of my own country and how we do things. But before I do, I was thinking, okay, what are some others? Now, in my country, we have a constitution, which for the most part was prepared in a reasonably short time. I was looking into the Constitution, well, how other countries did this, and it was interesting about England. You know, they've got traditions and things that pass from word of mouth since the time of the Magna Carta. And as they came along, and they went from a minimum oligarchy, you know, to more and more people, lords and so forth, getting in there, things grew. And finally, by get to today, they have a set of things they run by. But they have a lot of unwritten stuff in there. I was surprised. And then I read about Canada's. And it's, you know, I don't have a problem with this in any way, but it says Canada's constitution is composed of written statutes, court rulings, customs, judicial decisions, and other unwritten conventions and traditions which go back to 1763. And I got thinking about that. If I was in the legislature of one of these countries, that'd be pretty tough. You might say, you know, you could in the United States if you wanted to. You could carry around a copy of the Constitution and the amendments in there and walk around with them and say, well, what should I do today? But we have laws to help us with that. But I couldn't imagine carrying around something unwritten and unknown. But it goes on to say, I wanted to get this right, so I put every word down. I didn't try to edit anything. It just says, the Canada's written part of the Constitution is made up of the Constitution Act of 1867, which created the Federation of Four Provinces, and the Constitution Act of 1982, and other amendments, the last of which was amended in 2011. And they have three branches, just like we do in my country, a legislative, executive, and judicial. And a bicameral legislature, that word just means there's two parts to it. And so there's a Senate and House of Commons. If I get any of this wrong, y'all can straighten me out. And I'll use my kind of down-home y'all. See, take it easy on me. They have a prime minister who is the executive, and they have a Supreme Court, judicial. And I thought, okay, one more take a look. Antigua and Barbuda, that's one I chose for other people who may be here or may, you know, at some point hear this or something and say, you know, so you feel like you belong. Antigua and Barbuda, if I've said that right, is that right, Brother Robertson? Barbuda, you, long you. Barbuda is a constitutional monarchy with a British-style parliamentary system of government. The reigning British monarch is represented in Antigua by an appointed governor general as the head of state. The government has three branches, legislative, executive, and judicial, like Canada, like ours. And it's bicameral again, two groups, and there's the Senate and the House of Representatives. Executive is a president. Judicials, this is interesting. Now, Canada had a Supreme Court. We had a Supreme Court, and that's good. Two words, we get her done. This is interesting. Here's how this works. There's a magistrate's court for minor offenses and a high court for major offenses. And to proceed beyond the high court, a case must pass to the Eastern Caribbean State Supreme Court. So that's how it's set up. So just to share a little bit of that with you. And to be obedient as regards to this subject means that we have to comply with or submit to some command or rule with the intention of maintaining a higher authority. The way this is done in human government is to prescribe laws to which the citizenry obey. As long as the citizens obey, then the authority governing the land will be maintained. Now, for example, United States, the authority put in place to govern the lives, or might say rule the lives, of the citizenry in the United States is the U.S. Constitution and its amendments. Now, the Constitution is interpreted into federal and state areas of purview. From these areas of purview, regulations, laws, and statutes are formulated for all citizens to submit to, no matter where they live. You could be in a big city. Okay, it doesn't matter what place you are, medium, small, whatever. Rita and I once lived in a burg. There's things called hamlets, you know, we have hamlets in our country. We were in a burg called Buffalo Springs. It was two farmhouses and we lived in one. But you know, it was a very nice place. It was quiet, old country road out there, and there were some springs over here that came from a creek, and it was a very nice place. Now I live in Lynchburg, which is a bigger place, not like Charlotte, or not like North Battleford. I'm sure that's different too. But anyway, these regulations and laws and statutes serve to assure compliance by the citizenry with the authority of the U.S. Constitution and its amendments, or also as local or state laws not covered in the Constitution, but they cannot be in disagreement with the Constitution. So then, authority is maintained through the citizens' obedience to regulations, laws, statutes. If there is a refusal to submit, as in be obedient, by the citizens, then the law enforcement officials may come and enforce the regulations, the laws, and the statutes, assuring the intended authority, in this case our Constitution, is maintained. In general, some such systems exist throughout the world to maintain the overall governing authority of the land in which one lives. And when living under human government, it's always good to know and understand the laws. And of course, the reason we have all these laws and rules and regulations is because, like I said, we can't each of us carry our own constitution and amendments and our state's rules and all that and interpret that and say, well, is it okay to do this and that? Well, let me check that out. Well, yes, no, maybe. I don't know. So our legislature, that's what they're for. They get all these things so that even Ted can understand them. Except occasionally I don't understand maybe a speed limit or something. And then I feign, I got cataracts coming, I can't see it. And they say, too bad. You need to know the law and submit to it. But anyway, we have the laws and their various requirements so that one may comply with the laws and thereby comply with the authority. This not only maintains the higher authority of the land, but also prevents the need for law enforcement, if we obey, to enter our lives and force compliance. As I say, this is not generally a happy experience. And I have found one thing, personally, when I come in contact with law enforcement, and it's just like if I'm getting out of line in God's terms, he lets me know by the Holy Spirit. Here comes one from the enemy, Ted. Comes attempting. So, well, when I hear the siren, I kind of know, like, oh, here comes something. And I found out a long time ago, kindness, love, and obedience is much better than giving a big mouth. You hear that, young people? Don't do that. It just gets worse. I was going to tell you this, but many years ago, when I was in my early 20s, we had an automobile that was I shouldn't have had. It was just way too powerful. But anyway, enough of that. And I was going to work, and I was late, and I was really getting it down the highway. Well, when I slowed up to make a get down into the place where I was going, I got pulled over, and a policeman said, where are you going in such a hurry? I said, well, I'm going to work. You're going to be later, he says. Out of the car. I chased you for 10 miles and couldn't catch you with my Ford 390 Interceptor. Now you know how fast I was going. I thank God that I could be here to talk to you today. And I know there's a lot of you that pay the same thing. If the authority under which we are, and that was not a pleasant experience, took me to court, got a fine, went to school, but I learned. Experience is a hard teacher, but oh, you learn. You know, I didn't get too many. I don't think I got one after that until I came down here to Lynchburg. And about 25 years ago, I was speeding again. But that time, it was just a little over and almost okay. But the policeman said no. What did he say? He's a very nice man. He's probably about my age, and I was about 30 years younger. And he pulls me over, and he says, son, so I'm going to go home to supper. Now, let's just get this over with. I said, yes, sir. He says, now, you were speeding, and I was going about 12 over or something. So he said, well, we'll just put down that you were going, it was like 50, you were going 60. I said, yep, yes, sir. All right, now, you stop doing that, and I'll go home and have a good supper. Adios. I guess the last one I got. I'm good with that. If the authority under which we are governed is reasonable and generally good for all citizens, in the U.S., Antigua, Barbuda, England, Canada, Australia, you can name a lot of them. Then compliance to the authority is not objectionable to the vast majority of the citizens. Of course, there are many human governments, that is, worldly authorities. You know, there's many out there that's ruled by one, ruled by a few, and they're the authority. What they say goes. That's it. And they don't function, to provide the well-being of the majority of their citizens. They don't do that. These authorities foist unreasonable laws and or requirements on their citizenry for the sole purpose of maintaining the power of a few, the wealth of a few, and the privilege of a few. I won't go through those, but there's oligarchies around and rule by ones, and we won't go into all that. But the laws of such places demean basic human rights and maintain a level of human bondage in order to support the powerful, wealthy, privileged upper classes. I use the word caste. God used the word castes. In such situations, as Chairman Mao Tse-tung once put it, obedience comes out the end of a gun barrel, or something worse. And that's what he said. So you comply or die. We should be very thankful that the authority under which we, and I believe all of us in here could say this, I trust we can, I mean, the authority of government under which we live is not like that. Imperfect as our constitutions may be, they are generally good for their citizens. As regards being obedient in a human government, there are times when we may feel that some law or statute is unfair to us, and so we can try to get it changed or just live with it. In other words, lump it. So if we like the laws, or at least can put up with them without a lot of bad taste in our mouth, then compliance is not too hard. If we don't like the laws, too bad. We must comply anyway. This is the way of human government, no matter where one lives. That is, change it, live with it, or run afoul of the laws and get to meet your law enforcement officials. Sometimes I think of it this way. I don't like what the law says. For example, in my case, I can't shoot a BB gun in my backyard to scare away critters. So I grit my teeth and I bear it. To me, that's just not an Alamo issue. Y'all know an Alamo issue? I just told my daughter that. You know, she would get all excited and upset, and she still does. And it's just, what am I got to stop? Is this worth dying for? No. It's not an Alamo issue. And so, you know, there's a lot of things in my life that maybe they're not going my way. They're not Alamo issues. And they're on the human government side. And I'm just, fine. Your neighbors sure are loud. Yeah, they are, but they're great folks. They are. I got neighbors that are loud. They're great folks. God bless them. Every time they're having a cookout, I have one by every other week. I believe they got more relatives than anybody I've ever seen. And they come, and they hoot, and they howl. And any time I want, you come on over, Mr. Book, and you eat. Absolutely serious. I was over there, and I had to go over and talk to them about, they broke something. They asked me to repair it at my shop. I said, sure, I'll do that for you. And so I said, well, I'll be out of town for about a week, so if somebody pulls up with a furniture truck or something and starts loading up, call the cops. Although the stuff I have, I doubt anybody would want it. But I said, I'm hoping I can get my grass cut tomorrow, Saturdays, it doesn't rain. And he says, hey, don't worry about it, Mr. Book. I'll get it for you. That's the kind of folks they are. I can put up a little noise with that, you know. Christians are to be obedient to the laws of human government under which they live in the world. This is indicated by scriptures, and I have them written down here. And if we look them all up, it would take quite a long time. I will tell you what the scriptures are, and I will read. But the first scriptures I want to read from are 1 Peter 2:13 through 16. Obey every man made authority for the Lord's sake, whether it is the emperor as the supreme ruler or the governors, whom he has promised to punish all evildoers and reward those who do good service. It is the will of God that you may be thus silent. You may thus silence the ill-informed criticisms of the foolish by behaving. As free men, you should never use your freedom as an excuse for doing something that is wrong, for you are at all times servants of God. Now, I read that from Philip's New Testament. I think it's very clear. I'm going to read Timothy 3, 1 and 2 now. Titus 3, 1 and 2. And again from Philip's, remind your people to recognize the power of those who rule and bear authority. They must obey the laws of the state and be prepared to render whatever good service they can. They are not to speak evil of any man. They must not be argumentative, but gentle, showing themselves agreeable to everybody. Just a word, a little commentary on that. You know, if we are gentle and agreeable and try to do that, a lot less friction would occur right in our neighborhoods and our towns and so on as it goes. Amen. 1 Peter. No, I'm going to read on here. Where are we now? Okay. It says, it is clear. See, after 8 comes what? 9, is that right? Okay. Turn it over the wrong way. Well, I missed a page. It's clear from these scriptures that we Christians, oh, I read that, didn't I? Yeah. Or to follow the authority of laws of human government where we live. And I say, for me, it's the law in the U.S. Reading from Acts chapter 4, 18 through 20. And they... And I wrote in here, this is the King James now. And this is when Peter and John are being chastised by the authority because someone had been healed and they were teaching about Jesus. So the authority took them in and they said, the authority called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I'd like to read that from Philip's New Testament. It says this. This is again Acts 14, 18 to 20. So they called them in and ordered them bluntly not to speak or teach a single further word about the name of Jesus. But Peter and John gave them this reply. Whether it is right in the eyes of God for us to listen to what you say rather than to what he says, than what God says, you must decide. For we cannot help speaking about what we have actually seen and heard. I interpret that as they're saying, we cannot help but speak about that which is reality. Not this half-baked, phony thing we got going over here. Now, here's a situation where if Peter and John submit to the authority of the land, which we just said God wanted us to, they would transgress a higher authority, the authority of God. Now, for the most part, this has not been a problem for U.S. citizens because we have religious freedom under our authority of the Constitution. This may not always be so. Now, I put this in here because what I'm going to read is true. It happened. And, you always get this fine, well, what about this? And so you have the Society for the Freedom of Christian Law. Then you've got the group for make sure you don't get constitutionally ripped. And whatever it is, on and on and on it goes. And it turns into quite a thing. And I thought this through, and I read about this, prayed about it, and here's the thing that happened then as a result. I mean, I don't know as a result of what, but we're going to. Some time ago, I had a conversation with a fellow elder. He was concerned about something he heard on a TV news program. What he said he heard was that if a Christian minister refused to marry a homosexual couple, that minister could be put in prison. I explained that I thought he was misinformed, in that under the current constitution laws of the U.S., this wasn't true. He then asked me, pressed this, what would I do if the laws changed to reflect what he thought he heard and I was the minister in question? I thought about it a minute. As I told him, I'd pack my bag and head off to prison. You're down at the place where there's no compromise. Is it the authority of God? Who is the highest authority? There is no authority higher than God. All human government is subservient to the authority of God. And so we live in the kingdom of God, under kingdom government, and there's this human government out there, and we be as peaceable as we can. We don't start things. We don't cause problems. If the authority shows up with a bag of stones, so we just passed a law that Brother Book shall be killed. Okay, What are you going to do? You going to agree with God or with them? So the rubber will meet the road. This is going to begin to happen probably along the line. Don't know, don't care. God will take care of Ted. Let me just go in an issue here that is not written down, but I often think about it. In these times of trouble in which we live, a world that seems to be less and less stable, and this has caused so much problems for so many people, Christian and others alike, especially in the area of politics. And I often think about Jesus. He was there, and he said, let's go to the other side of the lake here, fellas. So they got in the boat, and they start rowing over there. And storm comes up. The water's coming over the gunwales. It's really bad. They're bailing. They're doing all they can, and they're afraid they're going to go down and lose their boat or their ship and their lives. So they look around for the, what do we call it? We call it the 12th person. They look around for the 13th person, and he's sleeping. He's lying there sleeping. So they wake him. Hey, don't you care if we drown? No. Okay, and he calms the storm. Well, that's better. Thank you, Jesus. There's a couple of things about that story that, for me, really sink in. The first one is this. They were really up there trying to push back against the instabilities of the world and the changes around them, trying to figure out what political stripe should I wear so that it will conform to my Christian beliefs. Driving themselves crazy with this, worrying. When here's this asleep Jesus. And I realized, all I need to do is go down there in the stern, cuddle right up to Jesus, throw my arm over his chest and go to sleep. Just go to sleep. What's going on out there, take care of itself. And you will be in the secret place of the Most High. Now, the other thing that struck me was when he tells them, he says, oh, ye of little faith. This is a little lighthearted, but he might have said, you know, it's harder to get you to believe me than to stop a storm. But really and truly, the vision that God gave me of just, okay, pack it in, get up there, lie down, and just go to sleep with Jesus. And things would be just fine. Now, it came down to, well, what are you going to do, Ted, if they say you can't do that? And someone says, we want you to do this. I said, well, in the face of that, I guess I'll have to pack my bag and go to prison. Because they've set a law, you can't get out of it. Okay, what else can I do? Kingdom government. God's authority is greater than that of the world's authority. God is the ultimate authority. There is no authority greater than his. Jesus fulfilled the Mosaic law in that the law of the Old Testament that up until then had been a harsh yoke on the neck of Israel, that law. Note that the method of human government, this is interesting as I was going through this, the method of human government is long lists of do's and don'ts, and that is quite similar to the method of the Old Testament law to which Israel could not submit. Though Israel could not keep this law, the law in and of itself was righteous, and the righteousness of God that the law could not give them is now provided through the sacrifices of Christ Jesus to all who will accept him. Reading from Romans 10:4 and 10:10, not continuously or contiguously, but I'm going to just read 4 and 10, Philip's New Testament. For Christ means the end of the struggle for righteousness by the law. Now in the King James it says this, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. In other words, I've got law here in this box. I'm going to take it to the window and pass it in. They're giving me righteousness back. You see, he says it's the end of law for righteousness. Or Philip says it's the end of the struggle for righteousness by law for everyone who believes. For it is believing in the heart that man makes a person righteous before God. And it is stating his belief by his own mouth that confirms his salvation. And as in Romans it says it this way, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Our salvation being confirmed in us then, if you will, Romans 10:10, that's a scripture that he says, if we believe in the Lord Jesus and confess with our mouth, we shall be saved. We can move on to live under the authority of God in his kingdom government. The authority of God's kingdom of government is spiritual. 2 Corinthians 3 and 6, King James, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, not of the laws, the regulations, the codes, the amendments, the constitutions, not of that. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. In Philippians it says the letter of the law leads to death of the soul. The Spirit of God can give life to the soul. And we're going to get to that. The law under which we live in the kingdom of God isn't a law that just... what we'd like to see, I think, in human government is just to have a stable government. Platform that you can be with your family, make a living, nobody bothers you, leave you alone. Stability. That's one thing people come to this country for. Stability. I can close my door and go to bed and sleep. That's the best human government can ever do in the best human government. We shall see that the law we live by in the kingdom is ever life-giving, ever going, and never ending. Not so in human government. Romans 8, 2 and 4, 2 through 4, King James. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. The law of kingdom authority has set me free from the law of human government. For what the law could not do in that it was weak. And of course, this is speaking about the laws that the Israelites lived under. What that law could not do, it was weak through the flesh. That's the human part. It was weak in its humanity. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Kingdom government is spiritual government. Jesus revealed the righteousness of the law through his life and ministry. By his sacrificial death on the cross, Jesus made the righteousness of God available to us, his children. 2 Corinthians 5:21, likely all of you have this memorized. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He knew no sin. That's why he had to subsume man into his image and nature. God is entirely good. Jesus is entirely good. And there's a second part to this. No, we're going to get there today, and that's fine. It's separable enough, so... But I was reading, as I said, in the book of the Messages there, in This Is That. And there was just one phrase in there that God used to take me through and began to realize that, I'll say it this way, this phrase that basically Jesus was with God, and I won't go into all of that. And then after that, Jesus... There was a separation, if you will, between the God of all the ages who brought forth from himself his will and named it Emmanuel. And then Emmanuel, in and of himself, does some things. Very important things. But we'll move on. Move on. Now, Phillips puts it this way. 5:21, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. I'm trying to slow up a bit. I watched myself on a tape from last year, and I couldn't hear a lot of what I said because I wasn't talking into that. So if I'm less animated and less fun to watch, that's the reason. Phillips' New Testament says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, For God caused Christ, who himself knew nothing of sin, actually to be sin for our sakes, so that in Christ we might be made good with the goodness of God. God is entirely good. We see here that the righteousness of God is ours through obedience, or we could say submission, to God's spiritual authority, which, and I'm going to stick this in now, I didn't have, but for us now, there's been a sense that it's now. It's not around the next corner, or over the brow of the next hill, or out someplace in the Elysian fields. The Spirit of God is working with us now to do things greater than Christ did. So I'll say now, God's spiritual authority is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, because Jesus is life. That is the law, the authority, a law of the kingdom. For the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you know, I didn't finish reading the King James, did I? Well, I'll read this. This is Phillips here. Oh, it is. This is finishing up. Excuse me. This is finishing up Romans 8:2-4 in King James, right? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, again, to read from Phillips, for the new spiritual, Romans 8:2-4, the new spiritual principle of life in Christ, see? Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, in Christ who is the life. The new spiritual law of life in Christ lifts me out of the old vicious circle of sin and death. The law never succeeded in producing righteousness. The failure was always the weakness of the human nature. But God has met this by sending his own Son, Jesus Christ, to live in that human nature, which causes the trouble. And while Christ was actually taking on himself the sins of men, God condemned the sinful nature, so that we are able to meet the law's requirements, so long as we are living no longer by the dictates of our sinful nature, but in obedience to the promptings of the Spirit. I like that, promptings of the Spirit. In King James, he says, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And I should say, God says, who walk not after the Spirit, but the flesh. That's true. Well, the Spirit's going to prompt you and I. Going to prompt you and I. A bit of a different subject. I'll just maybe just take a few seconds to talk about this. Let's see. You go from 14 to 15, Ted. Yes, thank you. We know in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that because we are a child of God, we communicate with God by way of the Holy Spirit. Human nature can't do that. Human nature has one line of communications to one place, and that's the world. The born-again person has a line of communications to God, who, the Holy Spirit, will indicate to you and I when what? When the very thing Jesus came and showed us how to overcome. First thing that happened to Jesus, he is baptized. Sorry, I'm going too fast again. He's baptized. And we want to be led by the Spirit. Jesus showed us he was led by the Spirit. Where did the Spirit lead him? Into the wilderness. And he begins his great intercessory mission right there. Because the thing that would ruin you and I, he showed us how to overcome. The thing that was there was the temptations of the enemy. And even uses the word tempter. The tempter. He can tempt us. God will not tempt us. Tells us that in the book of Job. I will not tempt you. But when the tempter comes against one of his children by the Holy Spirit, you'll know it. Then we make a decision. And we heard from camp, if you listened to it, there was quite a teaching on body, soul, and spirit. And the soul is the decision maker. See, Adam had a chance to make a decision, but he did it wrong. He disobeyed. But when the tempter comes, he tempted Jesus. I like the way he puts it. This is not here, this is coming, but in the new in the Phillips, he says, after he had tempted him in every possible way, he left him for a season. Jesus, though he subsumed man into himself, this is part of another thing, but he subsumed man into himself. It's the only way he could take on sin. He had none. But what he took on, he brings out the whole concept of temptation. Now think of this. If I live a life, then we're going on here, I swear I will. But if we live a life that God says to me, Ted, you're being tempted. I know it. I use different examples for that, but you know, I might be tempted in wanting to have a new automobile, or I might want to be tempted in going out and trying to take a rocket flight with fabric wings over the Grand Canyon, that guy did that? Evel Knievel, yeah, you're old too. You're not as old as me, or you're a lot less wrinkled than I am, I don't know which. But you see, God's going to tell me by the Holy Spirit, because now I have that channel of communication. And you think about this. If each time we get that nudge from the Holy Spirit, as Phillips puts it, you make the right decision and you do not yield to the temptation, you're living a life without sin. Enough of that. God's authority is greater than that of the world's authority. And all human government and human authority is subservient to the authority of God. The citizen of human government submits to human authority in a vastly different way than the citizen of kingdom government submits to the kingdom authority. In the world system of government, as we discussed earlier, a set of laws is established, set in place, and then become the standard for living with which the citizens must submit. The laws can be changed or eliminated, and sometimes are. However, such changes are generally for the benefit of a few or some politically favored industry or group. This system is very much like the old Israelite system of laws, except under that system, there was no changing the law. The authority, that is, the laws of human government, have only the ability to produce submissive citizens. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, with its life-giving abilities, has superseded the law of sin, the law of sin and death, and elevates its citizens. The life-giving ability of kingdom law, promulgated or given by God, is given by God Himself through Jesus Christ, is the foundation of the law of the Spirit of life. This is so because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, life in Christ Jesus, who is life Himself. The Spirit of life incarnate in Christ Jesus continually gives to the kingdom's citizenry an ever-unfolding knowledge of God as they submit to the law of the Spirit of life. Or as Phillips puts it, as the citizens are obedient to the promptings of the Spirit. We should realize that kingdom authority or law is giving the living law of God's kingdom government is written in the hearts and the minds of its citizens. It operates in such a way, and we read that in the book of Hebrews and Jeremiah, and, I missed a page. Huh. Yeah, 17 comes after 16, excuse me. Gosh. Yes. Wow, that might be the summary. You might be lucky. To read the writ of kingdom law, kingdom citizens need only look within themselves. Jeremiah 31:33. I knew it was in there, you know, and then I got to look and I didn't see it on the page. So, oh boy, somebody got after my notes. Yeah, I did. He says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And that, he says there, after that day, this is that day. This is that day. Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. The same thing, essentially, as what's in Jeremiah. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Hebrews 10:5-17, whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us, For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I read you part of the summary before you got that. I have to say, it fits very well that way. God's amazing. The living law of God's kingdom government is written in his citizens' hearts and minds. It operates in such a way that its life-giving direction for one of its systems... Now listen to this. This is kind of enlightenment to me, but I believe it, absolutely. The law of the Spirit of life operates in such a way that its life-giving direction for one of its citizens, or one of the children of God, is not foisted on all the citizens, as is the case with human government. Rather, it lives in Christ in each saint to bring that one to completion in the God of the all in all. This only makes sense for a law that serves a living organism, the church, that is spiritually progressive with citizens of all ages and varying ministries and gifts and offices. As kingdom citizens, we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, or more simply, we follow the promptings of the Spirit in our lives when they are in submission to the authority of God's kingdom government, living God's will. Living God's will. Everything that I do, say, speak, touch, I want that to accomplish the will of God. I don't want to just kind of go, well, I'm going to cut the grass and then I'll think about doing something for God. I just want it to come without me even knowing it. God doesn't care. I personally believe this, that God does not care if anybody ever knows there was a guy named Ted Book out there. That's not important. What's important is I don't leave I'm trying to sing the 23rd Psalm there. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. He says right at the end there. It's right at the end. He says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's what I want. I want goodness and mercy to follow me. When someone says, who was that masked man? We won't know. You know, I'm talking about a Lone Ranger there. Some of you don't know that, I guess. So the older ones explain to the younger ones who the Lone Ranger is. But it doesn't matter if you know. It's not important. What do I have again? Let me read that last sentence again. It's actually four lines long. That's a no-no, you children. Don't four lines in a sentence. As kingdom citizens walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, or more simply, just follow the promptings of the Spirit in their lives, they are in submission to the authority of God's kingdom government, living God's will. They are living by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So that's where that part ends, and it needs to. But I want to just point a couple of things out here. Let me see if I hit all the high points. Oh, kingdom government has but one law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In human government, in human government, we have multitudes of various families, tribes, factions, and whatever. In kingdom government, there's but one family. Family of God. And that's where the second part leads into, which is, how should the citizenry live? What should we be doing? But anyways, it's written in our hearts. Let's see, what else is here? That's it. Those are just, if somehow I'd gone completely prompt stupid up here, I would have gotten out the last page and read six bullets. That's it. God bless you. I trust there's something of value in that for some.
God has not called the famous. God has not called the intellectual person. He's called the base things to confront the wisdom of this world. So, Ted, you're never stupid. You're God's man. And we appreciate what you had to say. So we're all, I hope, in our eyes, should be in our eyes, base. We are of no reputation, no importance. What makes us important is the God in us. So when you speak by the Spirit of God and bring what the Spirit of God wants, that's what's important. So whether we come up here in our frailties and look stupid, then that's okay. As long as God's Word comes out in the right way and the Spirit is ministering. Amen? Amen? So thank you, Ted. Are there any announcements? Here comes Keith.
Well, this is a change. In North Battleford, the lines go for like 8 people deep both ways. But anyways, the young people for today only, we're going to meet in here at 1 o'clock. I think in your notes you'll see that we're going to be meeting from 1 till 2. So for today only, we're going to meet here, and then for the rest of the week we'll meet in the Kappa room downstairs.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. I'll echo what Jeff said last night. We certainly want to welcome you to the camp. I needed to find out if there's anyone who has arrived who has not checked in yet. If there's anyone, please raise your hand. You're in need of a room key. All right. That looks good. There's just a couple of things that I wanted to mention to you because folks have asked me about this. Hollyfield Hall, which is this building, is locked in the evening, so you can leave your belongings here if you choose to. It will be reopened in the mornings, usually somewhere around 7 a.m. But I just wanted to clarify that for you. Also, just a kind of a side note, for the younger children, parents, make sure you are aware of their whereabouts around the lake in the pool. We don't want anybody accidentally falling in, so just be careful that way. Enjoy the grounds, as Jeff mentioned last night. There's 1,100 acres, so there's plenty to enjoy. Just exercise, standard caution and care. This year, it's a bit of a different makeup on the age groups. We have, I think, one in the 6 or 5 and under age range at this point. I don't know if there's been anyone else who has registered, but we have two that are not here yet for the 6 to 12. I will let you know that Rebecca Willoughby has put together kind of an activity box for that age group, and if there's anyone in here that falls in that age group, it's somewhat of a self-directed activity box. It would be good if the parents of anyone in that age group will go down and kind of oversee that. Okay, I'll pop in from time to time to make sure it's covered, but it looks like there's a lot of fun stuff in there. I was rummaging through it a little bit this morning. That is actually in the conference room number 1 down on the ground floor, the basement of the hotel. We have over 30 in the 13 and above age group, so we have a large contingency of that group, and so we're very excited about that. Are there any questions about rooms? Anybody have any problems with any issues? Anything that we need to discuss? Otherwise, thank you very much and enjoy your day.
I thought about this, and we're going to close. I didn't begin the meeting with prayer, but sometimes I just feel like to go right into what the Spirit has on my heart and just give it under. I feel like under the anointing that when I walk up here, that anointing is, I feel like it's on me. But I want to close in prayer, and I feel like that would be right by the Spirit. So let's stand. I thank the Lord for what He has done with us today. And don't you? Amen. Amen. And I look forward to God really moving in our hearts and lives before this week is over. Amen. Amen. Lord, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in Thy sight, yes. O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Let us remember that, Lord, when we go out this afternoon and when we come in, when we face the week, what we say and what we do, Lord, is to be acceptable to You. And so, Lord, let us say the words of Paul through the Scriptures, whatsoever things are good and pure and wholesome and lovely, think on these things, and the God of peace will give peace to your hearts. So, Lord, be with those as we eat, be with those as they play, be with those as they rest, and bring us again to this meeting place safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're